Hello, everyone. Thank you again for joining Dorsey Ross on this episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. In this episode, Dorsey interviews another special guest that will give you hope and inspire you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for joining us on another episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. Today, we have a special guest with us. His name is Todd Lalo. He has a quarter century experience in ministry, and he is the founding executive director of the international nonprofit ministry called Mobilize Ministries, with the impacting mission to mobilize Christ followers and expanding the good news of Jesus and his kingdom among daily existing spheres of influence. He also travels around the world sharing the hope of Christ through his testimony. Todd, thank you very much for joining us today.
It is my honor to be on your show, Dorsey.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Thank you very much. After reading your book, which we'll talk about today, I was like, man, I have to have this guy on my show.
I am really thankful for your ministry, Dorsey. Yeah.
Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are?
Sure. Well, hey, I don't mean to tell you a Christianese answer, but I have been thinking about that, and who I am is found in Christ, and Christ is in me, and that new identity that he gave me changed my whole entire life. And I am a husband to my wife, Marissa. We've been married for 7 years, 7 wonderful years. And I'm a dad to my 6-year-old son, Oliver, and my 3-year-old daughter, Allie, and my 1-year-old son named Henry.
Oh, that's awesome. You got a lot of kicks there.
Hey, yeah, Dorsey, I started a little later in life. I'm probably the oldest dad that any other friends have. But I tell people that that my and my wife's age difference, we are like biblical times with a big age difference, or we're like Hollywood, which that's one of our ministry contexts, is among the entertainment industry in Hollywood. Yeah.
Right. What was your life growing up with cerebral palsy?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I think that it's like growing up with any other weakness that's not a physical disability. I think we all have weaknesses that we have to deal with on a personal basis or in a social atmosphere. So it's the only life that I knew to grow up with cerebral palsy. And I really did not feel much different than other people, except for I talk slower and I move around slower, and I've learned that slowness helps a person lead because we concentrate on what's most important. Yeah.
I know about my own disability. I always compare, maybe not compare, but look at my story and then look at Paul's story, you know, where he talks about his thorn and his flesh.
Amen.
You know? And I prayed, you know, the God to remove, you know, to heal me, but he hasn't, you know. But, you know, in the Bible, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
And you just stated the whole thesis of my book, Weak is the New Strong, because Dorsey, like you, when I discovered that in 2 Corinthians 12:9, I'm like, Lord, wow, I had tears of joy when I read that. I'm like, Lord, thank you for your power that flows through my speech impediment. Thank you for your power that flows me through me having to use a wheelchair. If you can use this to show your power to others, then praise your holy name.
Amen.
And Dorsey, I think that ever since then, my life, and probably you can say your life, is not despite our weakness, but it's by God's power through our weaknesses. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Through his power and through his strength that we keep going and that we do what we do.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I see that you travel and speak to some churches too.
Yeah, I've been doing that now for 15 years.
Wow, 15 years away. I probably have a lot to learn from you then. We've been on a ministry tour since November. We left our mission field in Hollywood in November, and we've been to 6 states so far, and it's been such a joy to minister to churches, to men's conferences, to retreats. It's been a lot of fun.
Amen. Yeah, it is, you know, it's definitely a blessing when we can go out and to minister to people and to share our stories and share our testimonies of what God has done in our life.
Yeah, in fact, I think you might have read this in my book, but I say that the Bible is the gospel in black and white, no, in black and white. But your story and my story is the gospel in living color. And I think people long to hear the gospel in living color, which is your testimony. Yeah.
Right. What have been some of the struggles that you have been through living with your disability?
Well, I will talk about the most shocking struggle. The most shocking struggle that people would hear is that after I got my master's in Bible, I went out to get a full-time job in ministry. And I was going to be a campus minister, and there weren't too many openings in the in the United States, and because of my experience and my references and my master's, I was always in the top three to be considered for the job. And then they talked to me on the phone. And when they talked to me on the phone for the first time, that would get me out of the running because they heard my speech and they saw that I have cerebral palsy. And that kept me in their mind from getting the job. And so that might be shocking to people, but I think I've been the most hurt in God's holy church because of my disability than I have in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you and I have a theme or similar experience when it comes to looking for, you know, the ministry opportunities, because I went through something similar where, you know, doors kept closing and, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do at that time. And a pastor looked at me and said, hey, you know, we won't look at your disability. We'll just look at your references. And you know, we'll see what happens. But even that never worked out, you know.
Yeah.
So we have something similar when it comes to that.
Well, you are. I'm going to. I'm excited about speaking at the Pepperdine Bible Lectureships in May, because for the first time, Dorsey, I am going to share the three roots of why I think I face discrimination. And one of those roots are, I think, people that we have dealt with in those hiring positions. They were never around a church that valued weakness. They were never around a church that could see that God's power can be displayed through weakness. So since these people who were hiring for these minister positions, since they were not around that kind of theology, then in their mind, our weaknesses would keep us from doing the job. But actually, it's the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have been some of the victories that you have seen in your life?
Well, you are, the victories is, I think, one victory is to see myself how God sees me, rather than how people see me. And so that identity in Christ is really big for me. One time I wrote this in my journal, that life is more about who Christ is rather than who I am, because who I am is found in Christ and Christ is in me. So the more we get to know you and me and your listeners, the more we all get to know who Christ is, the more we know who we are. And I think that has been one of the biggest victories.
Amen. How have you kept the faith in your life and not gone down a different road with all the, you know, all the struggles and all the, you know, difficulties that you've had to face, even in ministry, and said, yes, "What? I quit. I give up. I'm just going to walk away from God. I'm going to walk away from the ministry," and you know, that type of thing. What have kept you going?
Well, hey, that is such a great question. And I think I had to talk about that those 6 years after seminary when I did not have a actual, quote, paying ministry job. Those were the six of the darkest years of my whole life. And what kept me going was I did during those years what I would have done in a ministry job, but I did it for the Lord himself. And I knew that he was with me. I knew that I was with him. And yes, I did get mad at times, but Dorsey, this is life changing. I think people have it all wrong when they think that God did this to me or I'm at God. I think that's a false teaching called blueprint theology, where God has a blueprint for everything. But the fact is, in John 10:10, Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life of abundance. So during those 6 years, I finally figured out that Satan was the one that was attacking me. He was the one that was keeping me from being fully effective in ministry. And so it was not God. God is with you. God is for you. And just that simple truth, okay, I know this is going to be pretty deep, haha, but God is good, Satan is bad. And I think that simple truth that God is truly as good as the Bible says he is, that kept me going through those six dark years. Yeah.
Amen. How did you become the founding director of Mobile Life Ministries, and what does that ministry do?
Well, so what happened was I was working for another ministry for about 8 years, and this was a national discipleship ministry. But the ministry that my wife and I started under them, we started it in the Dallas Fort Worth metro. Legs. And the Lord kept bringing us hundreds of young professionals to disciple. And I'm like, Lord, how do you want us to really equip these young Christians to see their life as a ministry? And he showed me this. Luke 8:1, Luke 9:1, and Luke 10:1. In Luke 8:1, there's a picture of Jesus being with the disciples. And we say meet, right? We meet someone for coffee and we invest in their life. And Luke 9:1, he pulls the disciples in and he empowers them. And he sends them out. So he mobilized them. He mobilized them. In Luke 10:1, he set up a 72. So between Luke 9:1 and 10:1, they multiply by six. So meet, mobilize, and multiply. That is something that every Christian can do. They can meet with someone, invest in them, mobilize them to meet with someone else, and then they can experience multiplication this is everyday life. So I started the non-profit called Mobilize Ministries. And so we are passionate about mobilizing Christians to share Jesus through their daily existing spheres of influence.
Gotcha. We talked about it a little earlier ago, and you wrote the book, Weak is the New Strong. Tell us about that book and why you wrote it.
Well, I think there's a lot of people who are like me before I found out that my deepest weaknesses are my greatest strengths. So I wrote a book based on my biblical journey of discovering how weakness is really my greatest strength. So it's kind of like a light theology of weakness. And it took me a decade to write the book. And then it took me 4 hard years to find a publisher, because I don't know if you know this, but in the Christian publishing industry, it's almost like they want a celebrity to publish, they want you to be a celebrity to publish your book. So I was so that was a long journey to find a publisher. I tell you that story, the journey story, because I think the Lord published it at the perfect time, because it came out the year of the 2020, the year that people came face to face that hey, we are all weak. So as the world was at its weakest point in history, this book released to say, hey, that is when you have the greatest strength.
Amen. We're not going to talk more some of the topics about the book and some of the things that I was like, wow, you know, and what you've done in that book. And in one of your stories, you talk about that you were at a church meeting and something powerful happened at that meeting. What happened?
Oh, yes. I think you're talking about when I was new to this church in the DFW, and this church was going through a very rough time, and they were having a town meeting. And the church has gone through a split before that. And they were about to go through another split. And in this town meeting, people kept getting on the mic to voice what they saw was wrong in the church. It got so bad that they kicked out the elders, the leaders of the church, out of that meeting. And then, so I went up to the mic. I rolled up to the mic in my wheelchair. I got the mic, and then I got out of my wheelchair onto my knees and said, we need God's help. And I started praying, and then that whole church got on its knees with me. And then they invited the elders back in, and it was so cool how God moved by us just being humble in a weakness. Yeah.
Yeah. What gave you that boldness to decide, hey, I'm going to go up to the mic and I'm going to, you know, just go out on my out of my wheelchair and onto my knees and start playing? What gave you that what gave you that boldness?
Only one, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gave me that nudge until I finally obeyed him, went up there, and then he nudged me out of my wheelchair. I learned through my mistakes that when we follow the Spirit's nudges like that, he will do some incredible things, right?
Amen. Yes, he will. And another story that, you know, you wrote about was meeting one of your favorite musicians. Tell us about that and tell us who that musician was.
Dorsey, that was a dream that I thought it was a pipeline dream. But if you were to ask me who has influenced my faith the most, who is alive today, I would tell you his name is Bono, the lead singer of U2. And ever since in my young 20s, where I was trying to figure out what this faith journey is, U2's songs and their albums and their lyrics that are from the Bible, they really impacted my faith. And I told some people, you know what? I would love to meet him. Oh my gosh, Dorsey, people started praying that I would meet him. And then about 22 years later, I found myself watching a YouTube concert at my alma mater at the University of Oklahoma football field, and the woman band, the Black Eyed Peas, were playing, and the Holy Spirit told me, go now. So I left my seat in my wheelchair, and I said somehow I slipped past security, and I got backstage, and I met this guy backstage. He was working backstage, and I'm like, hey, will you help me meet Bono? He said, no way. There's no way that you can meet Bono. And I'm like, hey, he's impacted my faith, my life, my ministry more than any other human being. Can I please meet Bono? He came from nothing, like I was crazy. He said, no way. And so then I felt like I should go back to my seat. So I started rolling up the ramp that went to the gate, that went back to my seat. And I saw this short man halfway up the ramp. And I looked up and I looked at his face, and it was Bono. And I said, Bono, you know how much God has used you in my life. And yeah, my name is Todd. And he's like, hi, my name is Bono. And I'm like, I know, it's so good to meet you. And then Dorsey, he reached down and gave me the biggest hug and said, God bless you. And I will always remember that moment. Yeah.
That's awesome. You were on a secular campus, if I recall correctly, and you were part of the Christian ministry, I believe, and you can, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but somehow you got connected with the one of the secular frat houses on that campus. Tell us about that story, because that's a pretty amazing story as well.
Okay, yeah. So I was at LSU, which back then LSU was known as the biggest party school in America, and there was doing ministry, and I had to fly somewhere to speak, but on the way back I met this brother and sister who were both students at LSU, and they were coming back from a funeral, and I knew that they were not Christians to a conversation. I said, "Hey, Jesus wept when his friend died, even though he knew the hope that we have. So Jesus understands what you are going through." Well, so I went to, so I forgot to get his number, but we started praying for him and his sister every week at my campus ministry. And then I was traveling down the street, and someone said, "Hey, Todd." It was that guy in the airplane. And then and then we started to play phone tag, and he wanted me to meet the president of his fraternity. And so I met the president, and then the next thing you know, he wanted me to speak for the fraternity. And so this fraternity was known to be the most rowdy, crazy fraternity on campus. And I just shared with them about how Jesus changed my life and how Jesus can change yours. And each one of them gave me a big hug and thanked me. And then I went home that night, and these fraternity guys beat me home. And my roommates let them in, and they covered my bed with a fraternity t-shirt, fraternity sweatshirt, with a note that they said, "Todd, you will never know how much you helped us." But it said, "To the new honorary fraternity member." So they made me an honorary fraternity member. Yeah.
Awesome. You never know who you're going to, you know, reach or who you're going to touch when you speak to people.
Amen. That's why I tell people, hey, every Christian that I meet, I say, "You have the most impacting ministry that I know, because you are around people every single day who need Jesus that no minister can reach, but God has put you there to reach them."
Yeah. Amen. What keeps you going and traveling? And has your disability affected your travels at all?
No, I have been traveling in the airplane for two decades to speak. And then so I am so used to it. But this particular tour, this particular ministry tour, it's so special to me because my wife and my three kids came with me. So it's cool that I don't have to be out this long by myself. And we are in our minivan. And oh my gosh, you should see a minivan when we were traveling. We're packed in. We are, oh my gosh, you've never seen so much stuff inside and on top of a minivan. It's a really funny sight. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the biggest dream that you have for your life?
Well, I feel like that I am living the dream. Personally, I've always wanted to lead my own ministry, and I lead an international ministry. I've always wanted to be a husband and a dad, and the Lord is blessing with that. I feel like I'm living the dream. Have you ever heard of that Netflix cartoon called Alex Ball's Next Adventure?
No.
Well, it's a cartoon that an actor in Hollywood that is a friend of mine. His name is Tony Hale. He has played the voice in Forky in Toy Story 3. He was in that show called Veep. He was in the show called Arrested Development.
Okay.
Buster. Anyway, this cartoon is about how Archibald is always wanting to go on his next big thing, the next big thing. And he's never happy where he is right now. And so I've learned just through life that I don't have to look for the next big thing, you know, like I'm very content on where the Lord has been now, and I feel like that I am living that dream. Yeah.
Right. Before we end, will you give my audience and my listeners just an encouraging word as we get ready to end today?
Yes, I'll be happy to. Just want to repeat to the audience that you have the greatest impacting ministries that I know, because you are around your family, friends, and co-workers and strangers that you meet that no one else can reach. But you can share the good news of Jesus with them. And if you want encouragement in doing that, feel free to subscribe to my website at mobilizeministries.com. And I just want to encourage you all that you don't have to be insecure about your weaknesses anymore, because they are a conduit for the Lord's power to flow through. And you can read more about that in my book, Weak is the new strong.
Amen. And, like I say to my audience when I speak, and I'm sure you do it as well, if God can use, you and I who have disabilities and have speech impediments and all these things, God can use anybody.
Amen. We all, you and me and them, we all have the same Holy Spirit that the apostles had.
Right.
To empower them with boldness and courage. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Todd, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We greatly appreciate having you.
It's been such a blessing, and I can't wait to tell more people about your show.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in today. We greatly appreciate having you, and please check out Todd's website and definitely check out his book, and check out my show and my website as well at www.dorseyrossministries.com. Until next time, have a great day. God bless.
Thank you again for joining Dorsey Ross on this episode of The Dorsey Ross Show. Please like, share, and tell others about the show. Also, please check out the other podcast episodes. And if you would like, donate to this podcast and buy Dorsey a coffee. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.